Okay, I think we'll go ahead and get started. Adam should be here any minute. As we look through the, I'll call the meeting to order. And as we look through the agenda, we are going to move things around just a smidgen. We're going to, anything that we have to vote on, we're going to do right away because I have to leave at 5 for a football game. And Dr. Schuler is traveling on the road, and Marilyn is absent tonight. So we just want to make sure that we have a quorum for voting. We do have just a couple, one thing that we need to vote on. So do you have any additions or... we are going to, and we can get to that, I'm going to table the rates until the next meeting. But we will start. Dr. Schuler, or Teresa, what is the F-32 and cash flow report?
That is the form we have to send into the state of Wyoming by the end of September.
Yes.
So that form it needs to be signed, but there's also an actual audit form with, it looks a lot like the budget form.
Okay.
And then the cash accounts.
Okay.
And I'm working on that with the help of Porter Muirhead.
Okay.
And so I'm about halfway done.
Okay. So that can kind of, that we can table.
Yeah.
Till the, okay.
That
perfect.
Would be fine.
Okay.
It is in process, though.
Okay.
I will move that we accept the amended agenda.
Dr. Schuler, can you second?
Did you? I second that.
Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Oh, same side.
Aye.
Okay. All right. So I do have Tucker Ruby coming about 4:20-ish because we have had an increased number of Title 25 transfers. And so I would like him to come and just kind of chat with us about the billing and the history of those Title 25 transfers and how that essentially relates to the county attorney. So we can view and approve the general meeting minutes. We're also going to move, vouchers to the very end. However, you guys have all received the voucher, the list of all the checks.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like us to... review, we can vote to review those vouchers now and approve the vouchers, and then we can sign them at the end. The one thing that I did want to talk about within the voucher, Michelle, there is a voucher for Stryker for Casey for 20, and we budgeted for it, but we hadn't really talked about it. Can you talk about the Stryker purchase and what that was, just so we're aware?
It was a power load.
Okay.
For 264. And it has arrived and it is installed.
Okay. And that's like,
that's what,
what's the power? What's the power
what's
load?
What's the power load? It's the device that puts the cot in and out of the ambulance.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. So we can we get, and then Dr. Schuler and Marie, did you guys have any questions on the other voucher items?
I didn't.
No, those look to be in line with our budget.
Okay. So can we get a motion to approve the vouchers?
I still move.
And second?
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay. Now we can view the general meeting. And I?
Minutes.
The minutes, yes. And I did not have any questions on that at all.
I have read through them a couple of times.
Yep.
And I don't see any changes. So I move that the minutes be presented or approved as presented.
And I'll second that motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Hi, Tucker.
Hello.
Thank you for coming. I'll get you, you can be up real quick so you can talk and leave if you would like. So one of the reasons I was saying how we would like you here is to just talk about, I think it was last month, don't quote me on the number, but I think it was Dave and Carrie, 4 Title 25 transfers?
5 as of today.
5. And so that's kind of more than we've had in quite a while. For those of us who are new to the board, it's kind of confusing to us as to like how the county attorney's office even comes into play with Title 25 and
you
how
don't want to be.
Can you kind of chat with us about, I mean, because it's our understanding that we're not getting reimbursed, right? So all Title 25s, either you pay for it.
So Title 25s, obviously, it's an involuntary hospitalization for an individual. There's no way to predict it. There's no way to know. I mean, we'll go 3 months and have nothing, and then have 5 in a weekend or something, which that's dramatic. We don't have that much, but you can have them. The way that they are handled, and this is going to change in the future, they're putting a facility in Sheridan,
okay,
which is going to allow us in this, the northern part of Wyoming, the northeast part of Wyoming, to be able to transport folks to Sheridan and then have kind of better continuum of care and that sort of stuff. Right now, the designated facility for us to transport folks to is WDI in Casper. And so that's the only place we can go with them. Sometimes we can go to Gillette, not very often. Sometimes the VA, if they're a veteran, mm-hmm, but generally not. Generally, it's going to be at WBI. And so what happens with those sorts of cases is when they come in, they have to be voluntarily or involuntarily hospitalized. And it's a losing proposition for everyone from a financial standpoint. We had a meeting, maybe, 5 years ago. We went to the hospital and had a meeting about trying to streamline the issue. Title 25 on the state level is broken, the way that it's handled. It's broken in the sense that a lot of the costs that, in my opinion, that ought to be really borne by the state are filtered down to the counties. And so the county ends up having to pay for various different things. And so there's certain things I have to pay. This part of a budget that I oversee, and that's really the thing that we pay is when WBI takes someone, we're required to pay for the first 72 hours of involuntary hospitalization, unless it happens on a weekend, and then we pay for the first 5 days, which is statutorily. Anyway, I won't complain about my issues with WBI or with Title 25, but it's a broken system that I think was decided long ago and reiterated again at this meeting that we had is, you know, it's a cost that everybody has to kind of take care of, and public money ends up paying a lot of that stuff. And so the idea was that we would not get billed for it, the county would not get billed for it, and so
you wouldn't get billed from us as the
rural health care district.
Okay.
Since it's public money, it may be a different pot, but because it's public money, there would not be a bill sent to the county for the transport.
So it's just something we all have to eat.
It's just something we all eat. It's not something that we necessarily want. But sometimes what ends up happening, we'll have an individual who, it's not uncommon. We'll have an individual who comes to Buffalo because they want to see the bighorns one time before they die, or whatever the case might be. And so a Title 25 is because someone is suicidal or homicidal. Most commonly we see homicidal. Suicidal. If they're homicidal, most common, they're going to be in jail for 2 months, right? So most commonly we see the suicidal individuals.
Okay.
And so those individuals are transported, and there's been discussion about the best way to do that, and I think the appropriate decision is often it's best to transport them in kind of a safe environment. I think Dave's folks have done a good job being able to do that. every now and then, I think there's somebody who may be a little bit more difficult to handle, and I think law enforcement has assisted with that and helped out with those types of scenarios. Lots of times, by the time we get them transported to WBI, because there is usually a lag and it takes us time to get that done, they've settled down a little bit, and they are compliant for the most part, I think, and we're able to get them there to WBI, and then they stay there a certain amount of time depending on what the court orders are. And so the reason that my office is involved with that is if someone were to be involuntarily hospitalized, there are certain hearings that you have to go through. Because the facility is in Casper, most of that is farmed out from our office. It's done in Casper. On a rare occasion where we can't get to Casper, or we can't get to another, you know, the state hospital, whatever the case might be, then we will do those hearings here. The problem with that is Johnson County is not really set up to handle those hearings because we don't have a psychiatrist, we don't have all the necessary things to be able to follow through with that. And so years ago, I think it was Chris Wages, actually, when he was county attorney, set it up. So all that stuff would go down to Casper. And the problem that we are finding now is there's often not availability in Casper even with folks. And so we're stuck sometimes for 2-3 days trying to figure out where can we go, where can we take this person that they can get treatment and they can get their situation under control and make sure that we, you know, we don't have this issue continuing. And that's partially why the facility is being built in Sheridan, because one of the complaints that we have locally is oftentimes someone might go to WBI and then they'll be back in our community and we don't have any continuum of care, and then we have another title within a week, and we've had various of those individuals where they've been titled 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and it takes that many to be able to get someone to say, okay, we're going to do something different here, and not someone locally, someone at the therapeutic level, and it shouldn't be that. And so the facility in Sheridan, I think, is going to actually help. It's going to reduce our costs as well. So it's a headache for everybody, but it's a losing proposition. I mean,
so they're titled, say they're Title 25, and they're 72-hour hold, which happens a lot where it occurs in the hospital here. Are you paying their hospital bill, or is the hospital eating that bill?
So long ago, and this is actually a point of contention, that we've had some discussion about it, and I would like to transition to the point we've actually had this discussion with the hospital, and we're moving in that direction. Long before me, the decision was made, well, the hospital gets paid. And the question becomes, well, what's so different between the hospital versus real healthcare? And I don't have the answer for that. I think ideally what should happen, because every other entity, so rural healthcare, the county itself, the sheriff's office, et cetera, on down the line, nobody makes money on Title 25. In fact, we all lose money. The hospital right now gets paid the Medicare rate, or Medicaid. Is it Medicaid? I get them confused. They get the Medicare rate for that individual.
From you?
From the county, yes.
So if the rural health care board said county attorney needs to start paying our ambulance transfers, you're essentially having to pay, you would have to pay both hospital bill plus the transfer bill.
Well,
throughout all of it.
Not county attorney, county. I manage the budget,
okay.
But the county pays.
Yeah, yeah. It would come out twice from the county.
Correct.
I see.
I would say
it's coming out once. It's still coming out.
Yeah.
It's coming out the same amount.
Yeah.
It's just one pot
just
of money.
Just one pot of money,
so
yeah. Different entity.
Okay. It's public money either way, right?
Yeah.
And so part of the discussion is, and I'm open to having that discussion with the hospital myself. Mr. Devani has had that conversation. We'd love to have Mr. Carnage come with us to have a discussion with the hospital about, hey, everybody else, you know, just has to kind of eat. And so, you know, that's a separate kind of discussion to have with the hospital about that. And there may be an argument by them, but other than to say, well, we're different because of this, that, or whatever. Uh-huh. I think probably real healthcare could say, we're different because of this, that, or whatever. Uh-huh. But I guess a reminder for me is, for real healthcare, the one separation that would differentiate real healthcare is all of real healthcare's money is public.
Yeah.
Right? Not all of the hospital's money is public. And so there's the difference.
We bill out for our last month, we billed out a ton of money, and that money comes in through rural healthcare district to us. I mean, they get public money, but we bill out too. I mean, we billed out $115,000 last month, that which goes directly to the rural healthcare. So it's not just public money.
Tucker, when you say, everyone else is eating it besides the hospital, but who else is on that list besides us,
so
in that process?
Rural health, the county itself,
right.
Law enforcement.
Yeah.
So oftentimes law enforcement has to, go sit with an individual.
But they wouldn't, law enforcement wouldn't send a bill for that, right? I mean, those services anyways, you know what I mean? So they're just doing their job that wouldn't generate additional revenue.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily their job to sit with the guy at the hospital, but they do.
Yeah,
and so there's a lot of those things. So,
yeah,
I mean, if the rural healthcare district says, "Hey, we are different than just county," so county employee like sheriff. Yeah, I would say you guys are different, but the money's all coming from the same spot. It's from the taxpayers, and so it's Robin Peter to pay Paul. If you say we want to bill the county. And then, ends up the same thing.
Yeah. Is this occur in every county, like Sheridan County? They have a Title 25. They have a transfer. That county eats the money, too?
As far as with their ambulance? Is that what you mean?
Or just the whole title, the same, is the
it's
same process?
It's the same process, except for I know a lot of counties actually end up paying their hospitals a lot more.
Okay.
They don't have hospitals that are willing to work with them as much as ours.
Okay.
I can tell you across the state, everyone hates Title 25. Not having to help folks. That doesn't bother
me. Sure,
people.
Yeah.
It's just the way that it is set up that so many of these costs that really should be a state-level issue because we have to follow all these requirements from the state, and yet they say, this is your problem, fix it.
And is it because that you've labeled it involuntary that you so if they have insurance... Why can't insurance be billed?
Insurance
is it because
actually is supposed to cover it first? And so there's requirements for anybody who, so any provider, they have to bill insurance first. And if they don't have insurance, then they can come to us. But they are required to bill insurance.
In fact,
they are required to show proof of trying to bill insurance prior to being compensated. So WBI, etc., has to show proof that they did.
Is that what you
and probably only 10% have insurance, I would say.
Yeah, very, very few of the people that end up being titled have insurance.
Yeah. And so do we submit?
We do.
We still submit it, but it's...
A couple of those five that we've had this year have been submitted. One was just recent, so I don't know that.
Okay.
But he is right, about 10% probably have insurance.
Okay. And then whatever additional, they need, they get to the hospital and find out they're having chest pains and everything else. And all of that care is then, no matter what, is paid for by you guys? Or is it just strictly, mental health care?
It's supposed to be just the cost for the involuntary hospitalization.
Okay.
So they go in there and they have a heart attack.
Yeah.
That's not us.
Oh, okay.
It's not supposed to be us. I've never seen
additional costs that.
The hospital's pretty good about if I ask for, I want to see the entire bill and what it was for.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen any, I mean, that doesn't mean I haven't missed it, but I haven't seen something that was why are we paying for this or that or whatever. There's always a nexus between the treatment and the title.
And there's no state appropriations out there that are willing to grant county mental health funds.
Well, and Mr. Navon can speak to this maybe better than me. No, nothing. I mean, the state does step in and pay some parts of it, but okay. The way the statutes are set up, so if you go to Title 25, the first few statutes, the way it's set up is pretty clearly that the initial is on the county. And the way the statute's set up is really kind of interesting. It actually says the county that initiates the title, so if, let's say, Johnson County, you know, decides to do the title, then they're responsible to pay. But if that person is a resident of Sheridan County, well, then Sheridan County has to pay. And so, long story short, there is redundancy built in to make sure somebody pays.
Okay.
Instead of actually saying, you know what, my personal belief is if we initiate the title because we say in our county we can't manage this, we can't take care of this individual, then my thought is we should pay that, right? Because if I go down to Casper and I, you know, do something and then I have to be titled down there, I don't really see that being on Johnson County.
Sure.
But the statute is kind of written in a way that's really broken. It's one of the things that needs to be changed. And actually, that's one of the things that nobody can really agree on. Some people argue the same way I do. Some people argue the other way. There's been multiple attempts. Individual Charmaine Reed, who is in the county attorney's office in Casper and does a bunch of titles, people send people there from all over, so she handles a lot of the court stuff for a lot of people. She actually did a really good rewrite of it, a pretty expansive rewrite of the entire Title 25, and I don't even know that they talked about it much at the legislature. Like, it was just, I think it's one of those things that until you've seen one in the nuts and bolts and how it works, it's really extremely hard to understand how it works. And so the fix for us right now, I keep going back to the Sheridan, you know, the Sheridan facility, but the Sheridan Hospital has kind of taken this upon themselves, and they're going to build this facility, and they're going to work with us, make sure we can use it. And I think that's going to fix some of our issues. It's not going to fix the folks from coming out of town.
Yeah.
You know, and deal with that.
Yeah.
But the local folks that we deal with on a regular basis, it is going to help that. And I think, you know, Carrie can speak to it. We don't have as many anymore, but we have had in the past somebody who would be titled, and then it might be a month or 2 months, 2 weeks sometimes, and then they're titled again. And we're seeing a reduction in that. And so I think that's actually a credit to the mental health providers in Johnson County who are doing a better job and trying to kind of fix some of those issues. But, Dave, I think, mentioned something that I just don't like titles. I don't.
Yeah.
They're unpleasant. You don't want that to happen to anybody, one. And two, they're a cost for everybody involved. And they're scary, right? I mean, when anybody is thinking about ending their own life, that's a scary situation.
Yeah. So right now, it's kind of just a, we continue on how we're going, and
yeah, I think, you know, part of the problem is there is no, if we could say, hey, Real Health Care, we anticipate there's going to be 10 titles this next year, well, then we can sort of plan for that, and we can make an idea of, okay, that's going to cost about this much, and we can plan in that realm. We can't. Mm-hmm. Like, I think prior to the summer, and summer's a busy time,
yeah,
but prior to that, we haven't had a title in quite a while.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things that we may not have any. A couple years ago would have been, quite a few years ago when I first came into office, there was actually $20,000 or $30,000 back due money for titles that just had not been paid. And at that time, we only budgeted $20,000. And so then the commissioners bumped that to $50,000 so we could actually budget that. And our hope every year with that budget especially is that I return all that money because we didn't title anybody, right? That's the hope. But there's no way to really plan for it. And so, it becomes something that everybody just kind of has to endure.
Okay.
And I understand from Real Healthcare, you guys are like, hey, we're eating this, and we would like another option. But I would ask you to reconsider that.
Sure.
And just
yeah.
understand that
yeah.
it's not something that really anybody's making a lot of money on.
Yeah.
yes, the hospital gets compensated at the Medicare rate, but I don't think they're making a mint on it either.
Yeah.
And they've had to deal with some pretty unfortunate situations in their halls as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, we lose money. If it was just Medicare rate on a transfer, we're losing money too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and so I guess that would be my thought. Do we have a rough idea of how much? I mean, I know it varies every year, but how many have we had the last couple of years, or what are we writing off annually?
We haven't had since I've been on the board, I'm pretty sure it's just the last month we had four, and then you said one this month. Okay, so I mean, since.
Five. And Medicare would allow about $1,400 per transfer.
But that's only if they're on Medicare.
That's only, Tucker said that the hospital takes what Medicare would pay to the hospital.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't mean they're on Medicare.
Oh, okay, I see.
That's kind of a rule
going
of thumb,
rate of,
which really
so that
means
gets, that
it's
gets
still
you.
Under what your expenses are,
sure.
to be honest. But it's a rule of thumb that Medicare, they say that this is what it should be, and this mm-hmm. is what we're going to pay you.
Okay.
But that goes to the hospital. That's basically included in what
The $1,400 would be the transfer.
Oh.
But we're not getting paid. We
right.
haven't submitted
right.
anything to the to Tucker this year. But if we had, it would be about $1,400
mm-hmm.
if that were the arrangement.
Yeah.
Per trip.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't think any of us are, like, wanting to say, hey, let's... I think it's just really just informative to say, where is this,
mm-hmm.
where did this come from? How did this occur? And what can we do?
Yeah.
About, well, you know, how do we move forward? And right now it kind of sounds like we just continue on. And
well, I think since I've come into office, you know, the ambulance has always been really good. Always been good. I've been a good partner. And
mm-hmm.
at that meeting, you know, Dave was more than happy to talk about solutions and what we can do, and we may be due for another one of those meetings, actually, because they're so fun and everybody loves them. But the reality is, it's just an unpleasant deal.
Yeah.
I think you guys are handling it appropriately, and I'd ask you just to continue that.
Yeah.
I'm more than happy to answer any questions. Bill can answer a lot of questions. He knows a lot about them too, and you know he actually ends up approving. So we go through a couple different lines. When I get a bill, then I look at it. Our first thing that we do when I get one from WBI or from our hospital or whatever, I look at it and say, okay, I'm like, do we title this person? And then we have a record of it and we check. And oftentimes, and I, last few years, and I haven't for the last couple years, but for if you go about 3 years back, I had a couple of bills from WBI. They're like, well, this person says they're from Buffalo. I'm like, No, they're homeless. Like, you're not going to tie that person to Buffalo just because.
I see.
Or they would go down to Casper voluntarily, and then when they get to Casper, they're like, oh, we're going to title this person. Well, yeah, because that person, turns out their insurance didn't cover it. And so then WBI says, oh, we're gonna title this person. And I'm assuming that, because then we pay. And my position on that is no, that you know, it needs to be about that person and what they actually need. And if they don't feel like they need to be there,
yeah.
and you can't legitimately title them, you shouldn't do it.
Sure.
And so we've had some arguments about bills and stuff.
That's kind of an ethics.
Right. Thing. So we're trying to be kind of smart about how we do it.
Yeah.
But if it's a valid title, then absolutely we pay it.
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of things. But
have you guys, you budget a certain amount each year for the titles? And have we been under budget the last few years, it sounds like?
Adam, it is all over
yeah.
the place. If the economy is struggling, you tend to see more people having chronic mental health issues.
Right.
I think we have been under, but that's
yeah.
because we sort of did it on purpose,
yeah.
right? Because if you... The last thing we want to do is do a budget change, right? You know, advertise it, do a budget change, because then there's additional costs that goes along with that. And so we didn't want to say, hey, we only think we're going to use 45 this year, so let's just budget that and then have to get one because we have a title at the end of the fiscal year.
Right.
And so I would say we've over-budgeted for it, mostly so that, one, if it's a bad year, we can cover that, but two, so that in a normal year, we're going to be able to get by with that and be able to return some money to the county and not have to worry about, you know, doing a budget change, net adjustment, that sort of stuff. And so that's kind of why. So have we been under? Yes. Have we been very close? Yes. Yeah. But part of the reason is because we bill it higher, you know, we budget it higher for that exact purpose.
Yeah, for sure. Because we don't budget, I mean, we don't budget for the titles.
And with the opening, what the county attorney spoke of is the crisis stabilization unit that's going to open in Sheridan at the hospital. So right next to the ER, you will have basically a walk-in mental health clinic. And so, you know, the hope is that if you've got a family member or you yourself, that you would go there first. If you end up in a situation where law enforcement, which is typically then where the ambulance gets involved or somebody goes into the ER at Buffalo, then with this crisis stabilization unit, then the hope and plan also is that they will have a specialized vehicle that they would come down and pick the individual up from the ambulance, transport them to Sheridan, the facility. Again, it's not a long-term hold, and it's we're looking at about 6 beds for adults and between 3 and 6 beds for juveniles, which at this point we don't have really access to those at all. And I think to the chairwoman's broader question about the state's appropriations to solve the mental health issues, you know, they put a bunch of money into the state hospital a couple of years ago, but we didn't get any more beds. And I think that's the biggest problem. Since I've been a commissioner, I think we've had an instance of maybe once where we've had an individual that we actually were able to get into Evanston. And it would be quite an undertaking if we had to have Buffalo EMS take somebody from here all the way to that facility. So that's why you typically see Casper, sometimes Rimrock and Billings, occasionally Gillette. It's just availability of beds.
Yeah. And sometimes they go home.
Yeah.
And they're Title 25, and they go home awaiting a bed to open. So,
okay. Well, and to answer your question, Adam, if I may, the budget for that is the part of the Buffalo EMS budget that we have to kind of, it's difficult because we don't know how many we're going to have, if we have 5 or 10, but that's part of what we have to ask for.
Right. Sounds good.
And the reason why we a guessing game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. One other thing that I would add, just so we're clear, if we have a juvenile who has to be involuntarily placed, that is not a title. Okay, we don't title juveniles. So the way that a juvenile is handled is their parent can always place them, right? And if mom or if this child needs to be, so a medical professional says this child needs to be, you know, in a involuntary hospitalization type setting, and the parent does not, then what happens in our case is we file an abuse and neglect against that parent because they failed to make the appropriate choice for their child. And so we haven't had to do that, I think, once that we've had to do that. Most times parents step up. And so they get talked about. So juvenile titles get talked about in the same sense as a normal Title 25. A juvenile title doesn't exist.
Okay.
It could exist on a very, very narrow window, but most of the time you have a parent you can contact and say, look, you need to, you know, place your child. And then it becomes a voluntary, and it's the parent placing the child. And so it's very different. So
when and we don't do the bill for those juvenile.
There may be a transport. There may be a transport for that, but it would not fit within what we're doing in the title.
Okay.
It would be something to the parent.
Sure.
Or whatever the case might be.
Okay.
And so that's just a unique distinction because we seem to have had a fair amount of juveniles that have ended up having to be involuntary placed.
Yeah.
And you know, people talk about them in the same sense as the title.
Yeah.
And they are not.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for this, Tucker. I think it was really informative, and
oh, yeah, no problem.
I appreciate
thank you
coming. We've kind of been talking about it for a while now, and I thought, I think the best thing to do is just get you here and explain it to us. So.
And I would have been here at 4, but I got a phone call. Right when
you're fine. You're good. System. You're perfect. No, you're good. So thank you again.
No problem.
Thanks, Tucker.
Okay, I think because I said I have to leave at 5. So Dr. Schuler, I know you're driving. Do you have the treasurer's report?
Yeah, I'm no longer driving, so okay. I can summarize that quickly.
Okay.
And the report was sent in an email
yes.
through Microsoft 365.
Yep.
So most of you probably saw that. And I'll give you a brief rundown.
Okay.
Our ambulance revenue is still a little ahead of budget, and our tax revenue a little behind budget. And what we've collected on taxes is about 8.3% of what we forecast for the year. And at 2 months, we should be collecting about 17% of our annual revenue. And when you look at the report, it's a little confusing because we've got the ambulance reserve and grant income in that revenue total. So it says 7.43% is our total revenue received for our budget at this point in time. But if you correct that for those amounts that have not been received and don't actually fit in the revenue column very well, our revenue to this point is 12.6. So it's a little closer to the target, but still below. And similarly in our expenses, a worksheet says we've spent about 7.33% of our budget so far this year, but if you take out the ambulance purchase and the capital expenditure reserve, we've actually spent about 12% of our expected expenses for the year as well. And our only over budget items in terms of expenses would be legal fees at this point. Accounting and some facility maintenance on the KC ambulance barn. But total expenses are still under budget. And then in terms of cash and investments, we've got a total of $1.948 million, and a little over $1 million is in CDs, and the others are checking and money market. So we're in a good cash position, and we're spending under budget, and I anticipate our tax collection will catch up. It's going to be not predictable month to month. I'll stop there.
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
Brittany, can I ask one thing?
Yep.
After submitting the bills this month, our checking account is a negative $56,592. So we're going to need to transfer some money,
okay.
And we need a motion to do that.
Thank you
so
very
I would
much.
Suggest that we do about $60,000.
Okay. So let's, can I get a motion to approve the treasurer's report as presented?
So moved.
And second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion passes. May I please have a motion to transfer $60,000 from savings into checking to cover our current bills?
So aye. Moved.
Okay. So moved.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed,
aye.
Same sign.
Aye.
Thank you. Is that good, Tracy?
Yeah. Thank you.
Can we move, I'm going to hold off real quick and move from director's reports to the RFP for the new building. As you know, we had a work session Thursday, and we did talk about the three firms, the GSG, Amundsen, both firms are from Casper, and then the Nelson Engineering. I did We did have questions regarding things such as for Amundsen and Associates. Our question was, they gave us an hourly rate and a $1,500 trip fee. And I called, or I talked to the head guy, Ron, and he said within that packet they had discussed, I think it was 18 visits, and that $199,000, that fee, those $1,500 and those hourly rates are a part of that $199,000. If we schedule any additional meetings, he said that's where they just wanted to be transparent as to say, this is what we're going to charge you if you have an additional meeting. Nelson Engineering, the question was, because Nelson Engineering did the county fire hall, do we have to have a geotech survey? Jake had said that actually, because county fire, it wasn't required that they have a geotech survey, they did not do a geotech survey. So what we need to do with Marilyn when she comes back is to see if our grant requires a geotech survey to be completed. And if not, then, I mean, county fire kind of got away with not having to do the geotech, so it might be something that we not have to do as well. The environmental study, it's kind of particular to that plot of land where you build, and he simply said we sort of just dig up dirt and kind of do some environmental studies with that, and that would need to be done. But it's a very quick and easy phase one, cheap thing to do. So that will have to be included. Also within the Nelson Engineering firm, we had a question. They had a mention in the contract, a mention in the RFP about a subcontract, to whereas they have a subcontractor for things in Casper, and those are mechanical and electrical. And those two things have been, that is part of the $133,000 budget as well. That was already factored into that. And so with right now, a lot of this timeline with each of these entities is saying we kind of start the ball rolling in September. And so our goal today is to vote on who we would like to move forward with. Personally, after reviewing all of them, it's somewhat difficult because a lot of this is sort of foreign language when you're looking through things. And but when it comes to cost and location, Nelson Engineering came in $66,000 cheaper than the Casper firms. Nelson Engineering is local. Nelson Engineering did do county fire, so they are aware of sort of the process of everything. I look at in terms of, you know, we kind of mentioned how we have budgeted also additional costs that won't be covered from the grant, and so I look at it in terms of taxpayer money that we have to be fiscally responsible for. So it's essentially a big cost of $66,000. And then we're also taking taxpayer money within that $133,000, and we're putting it back into the hands of Johnson County, essentially. And so my vote and my suggestion personally with those things, and then also local. They're very, so far they've been really easy to work with, and they're local. And so my suggestion as of now, I think all three are amazing firms. They all look like they could do a wonderful job, but cost, location, and benefit to Johnson County, I believe my lenient is towards Nelson Engineering.
I agree with that, too. That was my decision in reviewing all of these.
So I can't vote. So if anyone would like to make a motion to move forward with whatever motion you would like.
I'll make a motion to award the contract for the architectural services to Nelson Engineering.
I second that.
All in favor of awarding the RFP new building contract to Nelson Engineering in Buffalo, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Okay. Okay, motion passes. And I'm just going to quickly, before we go back to, and I will go ahead and let those firms know that as well. Dave, we have on here new ambulance purchase, but I don't think we really had, was there an update or anything?
Well, I mean, we put it in.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten anything back from Laura yet, so we really don't have, you know, the order's in, but we don't have anything to really report.
Okay.
Cool.
So I'm going to just table that. We'll just kind of keep it a rolling log until the next meeting to continue. QuickMed billing, what's been happening lately is that we have had, QuickMed has been billing patients. For example, a patient during COVID was an ambulance transfer, and he just received a bill. And so we're thinking that part of it has to do with kind of our auditors have been a little bit stricter towards QuickMeds, and then kind of they're double-checking things as well. And so I'm going to follow up working with Teresa and Carrie, and I'm going to follow up with QuickMeds to say, hey, like, where are these loopholes occurring? We're essentially losing revenue when you're billing someone $2,000 and it's been 2 years, and how many more? A lot. Carrie had a couple today. A lot more are kind of coming out of the woodwork as this is happening, so I'm wondering how much we're losing. And so this is just another good example of why those checks and balances that the auditor had mentioned that we need to do, why it's important that we really do those to sort of see how this is occurring and why those. Michelle, have you heard of anything from KC of people getting bills 2 years late or no? Okay.
He's got his hand up.
Yes.
I am dealing with a very complicated coroner's case out of KC.
Oh. Yes.
I may have to go back out and be on the phone for a while.
Yes, we can. I'll move to you. Go ahead.
If I could.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
Because I might have to leave here.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh. Okay. Nope, that's okay.
Hold on just a second. Hey, Jeff, can I call you back? Can I call you like in 2 minutes or three? All right. Okay, so August was a busy month for us. We had 81 calls. 23 of those were transfers. One was with a nurse, and one was an out-of-county transfer. We had three to Billings. That was obviously for a Sheridan ambulance. We had three to Billings, four to Casper, five to Sheridan, eight to the airport, and three other, which was two to Gillette and one to Amy Holt, from Amy Holt to the hospital. 30 of them were in town, 51 were out of town. We had 64 residents and 17 non-residents. Two canceled calls, 14 refusals, five standbys. So all in all, it was quite a month. We had 39 Medicare, which doesn't help our bottom line much, but two were Medicaid, eight were insurance, three were VA, nine were self-pay, and one was a free lift assist, but they didn't get the notice. And so that's a busy month for August. And I guess, you know, we talked about the ambulance. We have an EMT class starting tonight at 5:30. We have 10 students, and I see a potential to maybe get five EMTs out of that. If this is historically accurate, we typically, our attrition is 50%. People get in, they think it's the first day of class, and realize, oh my gosh, I got to learn what, and they don't finish. But we have, hopefully we can get five EMTs out of that class, and we definitely need it. We're hiring an out-of-town, we brought in she's doing EMT stuff for us, but the instructor of the class, the coordinator of the class, you know, we're all going to take part. Hopefully Dr. Shirley can teach a class or two. I'll teach some classes. But Stormy Fanning is a critical care nurse that has a master's in education, and she's going to be teaching this class, and we're really excited. I think she's going to motivate the students and get them excited to learn and to be a part of our crew. And I think we're hiring an EMT that's coming here full time out of Miles City. She has a bachelor's degree in biology, and she's learned to be an EMT, and she's excited about going through and going on with her medical education. And we have one from Gillette that's coming over on a sporadic basis, who's studying to take the MCAT now, so she's excited about, you know, learning all that stuff. So we're working hard to keep our staff up. I think that's a critical problem nationwide, and we're doing everything we can to, because that's the bottom line. I mean, you can have fancy buildings and fancy ambulances, but if you don't have anybody in them, you know, what good are they? So we're trying really hard to correct that in our near future here. Any questions?
Thank you.
Before I run out?
No, thank you.
Oh, yeah, MS-73's got an electrical issue. We're going to take that in. We're not sure what it is. And that's our transfer ambulance. And we've been taking MS-93, and it's a rough ride. And we get complaints on how rough it is. So, and 106 has got 218,000 miles. And so it scares me every time it leaves the barn. But, you know, we've knocked on wood. We haven't had any problems so far. But, you know, we're doing an average of, we're averaging 20 transfers a month, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. And if we're doing the, you know, the WBI ones, the title ones, you know, we, it still costs us the same to do those. We pay our people, we buy the gas. So, no questions. I'll go out and call this coroner this week.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Michelle.
We have 7 day call, 6 patients, 2 traumas, 2 medical, 1 standby, 1 transfer from Casper to Sheridan, and 1 refusal. I think we have 4 people that are ready to take their national registry that have gotten scheduled to take that for their licensing. I don't know where they're at on that at this point. We did add a Versed to our patient care guidelines for seizures, so I think that's really the only update on those things. And Dr. Goddard will be down next week to do case reviews.
Awesome.
Or actually tomorrow, I guess, and then into next week.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
And Dr. Schuler, while you're on the phone too, this local government annual report summary, we had talked about there's a special district training that essentially the state auditor wants us to do, and it's all board members, not just chairman and treasurer. But the Stacy from the state audit office had mentioned that hopefully this training is going to start to move online, and it can kind of be done at our own pace. It does have to be completed by June of next year, I believe. But this local government annual report summary, all I need you guys each to do, and Dr. Schuler, there was a back page to the page you gave me, so I will just, you will have to sign that page too. Is we just have to sign it, and then if we have a certain degree, we are exempt from the training. Fortunately, nursing isn't one of those degrees, so I'm not exempt. So I just put not, like the certificate, I just put not applicable and none for the course so far. This is due to the state audit office by September 30th, I believe. So if you guys could please sign this today, and we'll get it to Teresa. And then Dr. Schuler, if you could please get with Teresa, but when you come back, to just sign the back page of this form that you gave me.
Are they going to let us know when the online trainings are?
Yep. They're, it sounds like, and Bill, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like they're in the process of developing the online trainings.
They are. And Marie, there was an option a couple of weeks ago to take it here in Buffalo.
I know.
And then Anita Bartlett with the Powder River Conservation District is doing a training this month.
Okay.
I think maybe like the 21st or 23rd. Jody was supposed to share that with
And
Paul.
I think Jody did give us a link to where we can kind of see where the trainings are occurring if we.
But so Anita is doing one in KC. She has become either certified or approved to be the proctor for those, and she has indicated a willingness to come up to Buffalo later this fall.
Oh.
After all of the scheduled courses. I have to take it in 2 weeks in Casper with the other commissioners, the clerk, the treasurer. So we're going to let everybody have the presently available opportunities, and then we'll have Anita come up and offer it again for anybody who hasn't had a chance to take it yet. And the nice thing is it's one of those one and done. So once you've gone through it, then the rest of your public service is covered.
Okay. Is there any more new business?
I have a couple of things.
Yeah.
Have we been in contact with the hospital at all to find out when they're going to start using the radios that were purchased with the grants, like radio reports or communicating with them?
No, I wasn't. I didn't know there was an issue happening with that.
We were way out of town, needed to activate the trauma. Had to do it through dispatch to recall them, try to get them activated. Did it like almost 40 minutes ahead of time. And then, I mean, there was no, we just didn't have any service.
And so they have the radios currently? They're just not being used? Okay. I'll check into that.
Maryland got a grant a long time ago to purchase radios.
Okay.
Reports them, okay. Or they can scan and know that. Like everybody was out on a call,
sure.
What it was.
Okay.
Like the whole nine yards.
Okay. I will look into this and get back to you.
And then the other thing, and I don't know where we want to go, Buffalo EMS is probably just as frustrated as the rest of the counties. So we had some incidences. I don't even know how Sheridan got like involved or called or dispatch isn't talking to other dispatch, I guess. We all ended up, I think, on a wreck out on I-90. We had four ambulances out there, which takes resources away from Johnson County and Sheridan County for a ton of refusals. It was insane with no communication back and forth of, like, the other dispatch letting the other dispatch know that, like, two ambulances were coming from here, two ambulances were coming from there.
And Sheridan was never technically, like, needed to be dispatched, but somehow they arrived.
Like, yeah. Okay. And then we got dispatched to a call for mutual aid up here on the mountain. And there was just no correlation of talking.
Okay.
I don't even know how. Like, Sheridan dispatched. They got the call somehow and dispatched, like, a Sheridan ambulance over. I mean, it was just a mess. And I don't know. Because dispatch in Sheridan has tried to talk to dispatch here. They don't really want to talk to them. So I'm asking, I guess, the board to lean on dispatch to please talk to Sheridan County.
Okay.
Of can we get better communication set up somehow?
Well, I can speak to those two particular incidents. The one on the mountain, a representative from Wyoming Regional called me on my phone at the office. And said, hey, we heard there's a head-on up on the mountain.
And that was after Sheridan County dispatched us to go to it. And we were like, what is happening?
So he didn't say that
they dispatched. Yeah, we had already been dispatched.
But why were you guys dispatched?
That's what we don't know.
And I said, no, we have it handled. But because that was 45 miles.
Yeah.
And I said, no, that's not necessary. We have sufficient ambulances, crews, Lifelight on the way. As it turns out, you know, one ambulance was plenty. I can understand that happening at Piney Creek, where it's so close, and the dispatch call came in maybe three vehicles.
Right.
And so I can understand. We did not ask for mutual aid.
No, and we both got dispatched, but neither one of us knew that two ambulances were being dispatched from both counties.
Why is Sheridan County dispatching you?
Well, and the accident was in
Sheridan County. This is mutual aid all the way around for...
Oh, okay.
You're working for Sheridan.
When you were working in Sheridan.
Yeah, when I was in Sheridan.
Oh, I was thinking KC. Like, why is Sheridan... Oh, okay.
And it would
never
happen,
mind.
Like, all the way around. Like, the whole regionalization of all of Wyoming, like when we had the huge mass casualty in NARM over there, you want to have mutual aid set up with all of your ambulance services in the whole state of Wyoming. You want to have a seamless radio on everybody's line, whether you use our state stuff that they give us or whatever. But there has to be a systematic goal. Just resources are going places that they just don't really have to be.
And I think it's appropriate for the directors to have that conversation with our dispatchers. And if you want to be involved with that, but maybe an initial, because we didn't realize Sheridan was dispatching the ambulance. How would they know? Did they get the 911 call? So those are questions.
So it pinged off of a tower somewhere and got over there.
Okay. So I think maybe what we can work on is, and I can do it too, like me, Buffalo EMS, and you or Crosby set up a time to just meet with dispatch. Because it might just be a simple just saying, hey, how do we fix this?
Right.
What do we do to fix this?
We thought that's taking an ambulance more than an hour and a half away from Sheridan. And
if it's needed, yes. But, okay. All right. I'll be in contact. The F-32 and cash flow report is being tabled because we're still waiting on that. So, any public comment? I apologize. I don't mean to leave. I will listen to your public comment, but I have to go to the football game. I apologize.
I'm Frank Billick. I do temporary driving for Dave, but I've spent 47 years in construction management and supervision across the United States and in a few foreign countries as well. I'm currently building a steel building. It's not quite as big as the one that you're planning to build. It's a 60 by 80, and I think the one that Nelson identified was a 60 by 100. So it's a little bit bigger, not much. My wife and I are going to put an apartment on the end of it, and I'll have a shop on the other part of it, and then in a couple of years we'll probably build a house on the same property. The reason I lead into it that way is because it's very similar in cost to what we're looking at for an ambulance storage facility. I have not seen the RFP. I'm here to kind of throw in my two cents. The cost that my wife and I estimated about 2.5 years ago have just about doubled as of this year. We can afford to do that. That's a good thing. Had we been using public funds and established a budget based on the numbers that we had 2.5 years ago, we'd be in deep water right now, really deep water. So the guys at Nelson are going to do a great job. They've done some work for me out there. And I'm really concerned that we may not have a full grasp of what the construction costs are going to be for this facility. What we budgeted to spend $350,000 on, we're right knocking on the door of twice that much right now. So if you're budgeting $300,000 to $400,000 right now, by the time you do build this building, it will be easily twice that much, if not 1 point or 2 point, depending on what kind of restraints you might have for using public funds. I say that because the experience that I've had professionally is that when you're using some public funds, I've done nuclear work, and there is great scrutiny on nuclear facilities. Code of Federal Regulations has to be followed to the T. The NFPA guidelines are not really guidelines anymore at that point. They are requirements. For something as standard as an oxygen storage facility, the type of heating you can have for that is going to be a little bit different than what I think you may have planned already, unless it's stored outside of the room where the ambulances are actually going to be stored. So different things are going to come into play for that facility. One of the unique things, and I just quickly glanced at the floor plan. Carrie showed it to me last week. I was not able to make that meeting on Thursday because I had another meeting with one of the subcontractors that were working for my wife and I. But you do need separate facilities, sleeping facilities, if you're going to have people housed in that building, male and female. And some of the requirements are a little bit different than what was shown on that plan. I don't know what information was given to the guys at Cleary because their name was on the drawing, but there probably needs to be some review of that, and I think the guys at Nelson can put a hard pencil on it for you.
Absolutely. Oh, that's good feedback, and speaking from my limited knowledge, when that initial rendering was done was a few years back when maybe the idea of how that building was going to be used was a little different, and the overall use is to house some ambulances and have training facility and maybe if someone needs to sleep there, but I think that idea of the lodging and the rooms have changed, and we know that is going to change a little bit, and we're going to lean on our experts here to hopefully get us a new rendering and figure out what that dollar amount looks like. But no, good feedback. Appreciate that.
Yeah, there's just construction cost wise, it's going to take you out of both knees. Both knees, and it surprised us. Like I said, we're able to absorb it. Not comfortably, of course, but when you've already pulled the pin, you pull the pin. You got to go with it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see the district back themselves into a corner too much that way.
Yeah. We don't want to do that, and I think it's important to remind everyone and acknowledge, a big part of the motivation is $900,000 in grants going towards this building, and it's kind of use it or lose it, and so that is part of the push. So just so people that don't know do know.
Yeah. May I ask a question? Frank, why are you so certain that prices will increase and not stabilize? What leads you to believe that?
Because I have been given no reason by any vendor or any subcontractor that we're dealing with that the prices have stabilized. People wait to the very last minute to give me a cost for things. It's frustrating. I can't get materials. And I don't know if it's going to be any easier for you guys. I really don't see things getting better due to our federal economy. The state economy, they're doing everything they can. But federally, our state is being strangled by the federal government in a lot of different ways. So that's going to make things rough here for the vendors. And I'm trying to buy things even out of state, and we basically can't get them. Like door frames. Can't get them.
Doors, windows,
and I asked Frank to attend because he did this professionally and has a lot of knowledge and has expressed that he would be willing to help with the building committee or anything like that if we need to use his expertise. Realizing Nelson Engineering has the contract, but just some footwork maybe that we could do that's required of the board.
And the input would be helpful as well. Just the knowledge and the experience. Yep, we appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's great.
Thank you for letting me throw in my 2 cents. Oh,
absolutely. Appreciate it.
We need it.
It very much so. Yeah. So the president is now gone. Thank you. Is there any more public comment? Yes, Dave.
Not particularly public comment, but a request. I think maybe to Dr. Schuler, it comes to me that it's public perception, and Tucker Ruby even made that blatantly obvious today, that Buffalo EMS and the rural health care is operating on public funds, and solely is funded by public funds, when in fact that's not at all true. And I would like, if we can, and then maybe this is a Dr. Schuler treasurer question, at some point during the treasurer's report, maybe give the public our billables, you know, what we billed out for the month. Carrie and I did a quick run through for July. We can't do August because all that's not in yet. We did a quick run through for July, and our billables were $115,000. And certainly we're not going to get all that money because some is Medicare and they only pay a percentage. But I'd like the public to know that it's not just taxpayers' dollars that are being spent, but it's money that's coming off our back and going into your coffers. And I'd like to see that number be a part of the regular report.
Would it be accurate to say that our collected ambulance revenue is all what Buffalo EMS and to some degree KC ambulance has generated through the provision of service?
Well, certainly was true last year and more, but I think Carrie and I'd have to go do a historical, but I think that's accurate, Doc. I really do.
Well, I don't mind emphasizing that as of this point this year, about half of our revenue has been generated by the ambulance, and the other half has been county tax related.
Yeah, and I think that's all right. It's not a great figure, but it's a figure that the public needs to know. It's not all just taxpayer money. It's user fed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, sounds good.
I think I'd be interested, you know, to see that figure more often of maybe what, you know, billed versus, you know, we can see what's collected here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that would be.
Last month we did 59 calls and 17 of them were transfers. This month we did 81 calls and 23 of them were transfers. So you can see that's, you know, if our billables might be pushing the $150,000,
$200,000. What about you, Michelle, on that?
I would like to see a quick med claim, like what is actually sent off to them and what we're actually collecting. Because what we bill isn't really a real life accurate. That's not what's coming back in.
Right.
Like, and what's actually collected would probably be the more appropriate for those things.
And Teresa and I and we have been emailing QuickMed claims and trying to come up with a good report. That's comprehensive. And I was looking this afternoon for a good one. It's difficult to filter through those, but I think we can nail one down. And they said that you have access that Teresa and I don't. So we're going to try to gain that similar access just to make some decisions and know what's being paid in versus what's charged. So I think it's a work in progress, but we obviously do need to be more aware of the revenue and what's not coming in and what they're writing off without our knowledge.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're both able to access that information?
Well, Michelle has full access. Teresa and I have limited, but I think Brittany's going to help us all be on the same page.
Okay, great. Good. Any other comments? Okay. Adam, we've already approved the vouchers, and Adam and I will stay and sign those vouchers. Brittany has already signed them because we've all looked at them. Okay. So do we have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 Meeting's adjourned.
Good job.
Thank you, Dr. Schuler.
Thanks, everybody.